A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been staying with his in-laws, helping fix up an old family property. The kind of trip where you're cutting wood, clearing cobwebs, sweating through your shirt by 4 in the afternoon. And it's got him thinking about the stuff he's been putting on his armpits every morning without really examining it. He grabs whatever's at the pharmacy, usually Axe or something that catches his eye, avoids natural deodorant because he hates the texture and doesn't trust it to work. His real question is about those claims on the label. 36-hour coverage, 48 hours, 72. When in reality, after an afternoon of physical labor and humidity, 6 hours feels like the ceiling. He wants to know how accurate those numbers actually are. And if he wanted a no-nonsense brand whose longevity claims are backed up by the science, what should he reach for? Nothing prescription, just something that actually delivers.
What those numbers actually mean is that in a controlled lab test, subjects sitting in a climate-controlled room, not moving, not sweating, the product reduced moisture by some measurable amount for that duration. It's a hot room test, basically. They put people in a room at about 100 degrees Fahrenheit, 40% humidity, and they measure sweat output. If the antiperspirant still shows a statistically significant reduction at hour 36, they can put that number on the label.
So the number is real in the same way a car's fuel economy rating is real. Achievable under conditions nobody actually lives in.
And the thing is, the FDA doesn't require them to specify that the test subjects were sitting still. They don't have to disclose that nobody was swinging an axe or hauling lumber. The claim is technically true and practically meaningless for anyone who moves during the day.
Daniel's cutting wood in humidity and wondering why his 6-hour experience doesn't match the 36 on the can. The answer is that the 36 on the can was never about him.
Right. And there's another layer here. The active ingredient in antiperspirants is an aluminum salt, usually aluminum zirconium tetrachlorohydrex glycine, which is a mouthful, but the mechanism is straightforward. The aluminum ions dissolve in sweat, form a gel-like plug that physically blocks the sweat duct. It's a temporary physical barrier, not a chemical shutdown of the gland. That plug forms best when you apply it to completely dry skin, ideally at night, because your sweat glands are less active while you sleep and the plug has time to set.
Wait. At night. So the optimal use pattern for a product people universally apply in the morning is actually to put it on before bed.
Yes, and almost nobody does this. The clinical data on application timing is pretty consistent. Applying antiperspirant at night on dry skin gives you significantly better protection the next day than applying it in the morning right before you start sweating. The plug needs hours to form properly. If you put it on and immediately start sweating, you're washing a good portion of it out before it ever sets.
That's a useful piece of information that's appeared on zero deodorant cans I've ever seen.
The labels don't mention it because it'd complicate the marketing. They want you to think of it as a morning ritual, part of getting ready. Telling people to put it on before bed, wait 8 hours, then go about their day. That's a harder sell, even though it's how the product actually works best.
So, Daniel's layering on spray deodorant every morning, and he's probably undermining half the product's effectiveness before he even picks up a tool.
Spray deodorant specifically has its own issues. With a spray, a lot of the product ends up in the air, on the bathroom floor, anywhere but on the skin. The application is less precise, and the concentration of active ingredient that actually reaches the sweat gland is lower than with a stick or a roll-on. If he's using a body spray like Axe, those are primarily fragrance products. They often contain some antiperspirant active, but at lower concentrations, and they're designed more for scent coverage than sweat control.
He did say Axe. And he said he layers it on, so he's probably walking around in a cloud of fragrance that's doing less work than he thinks.
The fragrance is doing exactly what it's designed to do, making him smell like Axe. Whether it's doing anything about the underlying sweat production is a separate question, and the answer is probably not much.
Let's talk about the distinction, because this is where a lot of people get confused. Deodorant versus antiperspirant. They're not the same thing, and Daniel's using the term somewhat interchangeably, which is common.
Deodorant addresses odor. It doesn't stop sweat. It typically contains antimicrobial agents that kill the bacteria on your skin that break down sweat into smelly compounds, plus fragrance to mask whatever's left. Antiperspirant is the one that actually reduces sweat production through those aluminum plugs. A product can be one or both, and most things on the shelf are both. But if you grab something labeled only as deodorant, you're getting zero sweat control.
So if Daniel wants to not be drenched and also not smell, he needs both functions. And he needs the antiperspirant part to actually work.
Which brings us to what he actually asked for. A no-nonsense brand where the longevity claims hold up better than what he's been using. If we're talking over-the-counter, not prescription, the category he wants is clinical strength antiperspirants. These have a higher concentration of the active aluminum salt, typically around 20%, compared to maybe 12 to 15% in a standard product. The FDA caps over-the-counter antiperspirants at 20% aluminum zirconium tetrachlorohydrox glycine. Clinical strength products push right up against that limit.
So clinical strength isn't a marketing term in this case. It actually means something.
It means something specific. It's the maximum allowable concentration without a prescription. And that's the category where the claims start to get closer to reality. Certain Dry is probably the most straightforward recommendation here. It's been around for decades, it's inexpensive, and it uses a different aluminum salt, aluminum chloride, at around 12%, which sounds lower, but aluminum chloride is actually more effective at forming those sweat duct plugs than the zirconium-based compounds. Certain Dry is the thing dermatologists routinely recommend for hyperhidrosis before escalating to prescription options.
Hyperhidrosis being excess perspiration, which Daniel says he doesn't have. He describes himself as having normal physiology.
Right, he's not dealing with a medical condition, he's just a guy who sweats when he does physical work, which is what sweat is for. But the product that works for hyperhidrosis will also work for normal sweating, just with more margin. Certain Dry is applied at night, on dry skin, and the instructions actually say this. It's one of the few products that tells you to use it before bed. You put it on, let it work overnight, and wash it off in the morning. The protection can last a couple of days for some people. The trade-off is that it can be irritating, especially if you apply it to damp skin or right after shaving. The aluminum chloride is more acidic.
So, it's effective, but not gentle. What's the next tier?
The clinical strength versions of the major drugstore brands, Secret Clinical Strength, Dove Clinical Protection, Degree Clinical. These use the aluminum zirconium compound at that 20% maximum. They're formulated to be less irritating, with more moisturizers and emollients. They're applied like a regular antiperspirant, though they also work better at night. The longevity on these is better than standard products. You can expect solid protection through a full day, including moderate activity. Heavy manual labor in humidity is still going to push it, but you'll get more hours than with a standard stick.
And the gap between the label claim and reality narrows.
It narrows. You won't get 72 hours if you're cutting wood, but you might get a solid 12 to 14 hours of meaningful sweat reduction, which is a real improvement over the 6 Daniel's experiencing. The active ingredient concentration is higher, the formulation is designed for sustained release, and the plug formation is more robust.
There's something else in Daniel's prompt I want to circle back to. He said he avoids natural deodorant like the plague, hates the texture, doesn't think it works well. Is he right about that?
He's mostly right, but the picture is more interesting than just natural deodorant doesn't work. Natural deodorants don't contain aluminum, so they're not antiperspirants at all. They're purely deodorants. They won't reduce sweat one bit. What they try to do is control odor through other means. Baking soda to neutralize odor, causing acids, arrowroot powder, or cornstarch to absorb some moisture. Coconut oil for its mild antimicrobial properties, essential oils for fragrance.
So, if you switch to natural deodorant, you're abandoning sweat control entirely, and hoping the odor control picks up the slack.
And for a lot of people, it doesn't. The baking soda can be effective at odor neutralization, but it's also alkaline and can cause skin irritation with prolonged use. The texture issues Daniel mentions are real. Many natural deodorants use shea butter or coconut oil as a base, which gives them a greasy, heavy feel that's very different from the dry glide of an aluminum-based stick. And there's an adjustment period that enthusiasts talk about, where your body supposedly detoxes from aluminum and your sweat glands recalibrate. That's not a thing. There's no physiological detox happening. What's actually happening is that you're just sweating more because you stopped using antiperspirant, and eventually you either get used to it or you don't.
The detox narrative is one of those things that sounds plausible enough to spread, but collapses under any scrutiny.
Your sweat glands don't store aluminum. The plug is temporary and sloughs off with skin cells. There's nothing to detox. You just got wetter and smellier for a couple of weeks while your skin microbiome adjusted to the new product.
Daniel also mentioned he doesn't hear any complaints about body odor, which he hopes means people aren't just being diplomatic. That's a genuine social anxiety. How would you even know?
You almost never would. People are extremely reluctant to tell someone they smell bad. It's one of the most awkward conversations you can have. There's a whole social contract around not mentioning it, which means most people are walking around with no feedback loop on their odor control strategy. They just have to trust the product and hope for the best.
The silent diplomacy of body odor is a whole unspoken layer of human interaction.
And it's asymmetrical. The person with the odor is often the last to know, because we become nose-blind to our own scent. Our olfactory system filters out constant background smells so it can detect new ones. That's why you can't smell your own house, your own car, or your own armpits after the first few minutes.
So Daniel's out there cutting wood, trusting acts and social diplomacy to keep him in the clear, with no actual data on whether it's working.
And the thing is, if nobody's saying anything and he's been doing this for years, it's probably fine. Most people's body odor isn't as noticeable as they fear. The anxiety is usually worse than the reality. But if he wants to upgrade his confidence from probably fine to definitely fine, the move is a clinical strength antiperspirant applied at night.
Let's get specific about brands. You mentioned Certain Dry, Secret Clinical, Dove Clinical, Degree Clinical. If Daniel walks into a pharmacy tomorrow and wants one thing to try, what's the ranking?
For pure effectiveness, Certain Dry is at the top. It's the strongest over-the-counter option, period. The aluminum chloride formulation is more potent than anything using aluminum zirconium, but it's also the least pleasant to use. It can sting, it can itch, and you have to be careful about application. It's the tool for the job if the job is maximum sweat reduction and you don't care about the user experience.
The no-nonsense option for the guy who wants results and isn't looking for a spa experience.
Next tier is the clinical strength, Styx, Secret, Dove, Degree. Among these, the differences are mostly in fragrance and formulation feel. Secret Clinical Strength has a range of scents and an invisible solid format that goes on clear. Dove Clinical Protection has more moisturizers, which is nice if you have sensitive skin. Degree Clinical has their Motion Sense technology, which is microcapsules of fragrance that break open with friction. It's clever, but it's fragrance delivery, not sweat control. The active ingredient concentration is the same across all three.
So the choice among those three comes down to which scent you prefer, and how your skin reacts to the base formulation.
Right. And there's one more option worth mentioning, Mitchum. Mitchum has been making high-strength antiperspirants for a long time, and their standard products use a higher aluminum concentration than most standard brands, though not quite at the clinical 20%. Their triple odor defense line is well-regarded. It's a good middle ground if clinical strength feels like overkill, but Axe isn't cutting it.
Mitchum is the one that used to advertise so effective you could skip a day.
That was their whole marketing for decades. And it wasn't entirely empty. Their formulation was stronger than competitors at the time. They've been doing high-strength antiperspirant longer than most brands have had clinical lines.
So Daniel's upgrade path is basically Axe to Mitchum, to clinical strength, to Certain Dry, depending on how much sweat control he needs and how much irritation he's willing to tolerate.
And the application timing matters more than the brand choice, honestly. Switching from morning to night application with the same product will give you a bigger improvement than switching brands and keeping the morning routine. The plug formation time is the limiting factor.
That's the kind of thing that should be on the label, but isn't, because it'd hurt sales.
The other thing that should be on the label but isn't is that more isn't better. People layer on product thinking they're building up protection, but you only need a thin, even layer. Excess product just sits on the skin surface, doesn't improve plug formation, and increases the chance of irritation and staining. One pass with a stick or two, swipes of a roll-on, is plenty.
Daniel said he layers on spray deodorant. He's probably using more than he needs and getting less benefit than he thinks.
With a spray, he's probably losing 30 to 40% of the product to the air before it even reaches his skin. The application efficiency is terrible compared to a stick or roll-on. If he's committed to spray format, he should at least hold the can closer and spray for a shorter duration on each side. But honestly, switching to a stick would be a bigger upgrade than any brand change.
What about the staining issue? White marks on dark shirts? Yellow stains on white shirts? Is that something the clinical strength products handle better or worse?
The yellow staining on white shirts is caused by the interaction between aluminum salts and sweat, plus the buildup of body oils and detergent residue over time. Higher aluminum concentration means more potential for yellowing, not less. The clinical strength products can actually be worse for this. The white marks on dark shirts are just visible product residue. That's a formulation issue, and the invisible solid formats are designed to minimize it. Secret Clinical Strength Invisible Solid is pretty good about not leaving white marks. Certain Dry is water clear and doesn't leave visible residue, but it can still contribute to yellowing over time because of the aluminum content.
So there's no free lunch. More sweat control means more potential for shirt damage.
The best mitigation is to let the product dry completely before putting on a shirt, which is another argument for night application. If you apply it before bed, it's fully dry by morning, and the staining potential drops significantly because the product has already formed the plug, and any excess has been absorbed or rubbed off on your sheets.
Your sheets are taking one for the team.
A small sacrifice for dry armpits.
Let's talk about the humidity factor, because Daniel specifically mentioned it. He's in a humid environment he's not used to. How does humidity change the equation?
Humidity makes everything harder for antiperspirants. The plug formation depends on the aluminum salts dissolving in a small amount of sweat and then forming that gel barrier. In high humidity, you're sweating more continuously, which means the plug is constantly being challenged. The product is trying to form a barrier while new sweat is pushing through from behind. It's like trying to patch a leak while the water's still running.
And the sensation of being sweaty is worse in humidity because the sweat doesn't evaporate. Even if the antiperspirant is reducing the total volume of sweat, what does come through just sits there.
That's the cooling mechanism of sweat breaking down. Sweat cools you by evaporating. In high humidity, the air is already saturated with moisture, so evaporation slows or stops. You feel wetter and more uncomfortable, even if you're producing the same amount of sweat. The antiperspirant is doing its job, but the environmental conditions make the remaining moisture much more noticeable.
So Daniel's in a situation that's basically the worst-case scenario for the product category. Physical labor, high humidity, and a product he applies in the morning without much thought.
And he's still only feeling the need to reapply by 4 in the afternoon, which honestly suggests his baseline sweat production is pretty normal and the product is doing an okay job. He's just up against the physical limits of what an over-the-counter antiperspirant can do in those conditions.
Is there anything he can do beyond switching products and application timing? Any other variables he can control?
Clothing matters more than people think. Natural fibers, especially merino wool, are much better at managing moisture and odor than cotton or synthetics. Merino wool can absorb something like 30% of its weight in moisture before feeling wet, and it has natural antimicrobial properties that reduce odor. A merino undershirt as a base layer would wick sweat away from the skin, give the antiperspirant less work to do, and trap odor before it reaches the outer shirt.
So the antiperspirant is one layer of the strategy, but the shirt underneath is doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Diet plays a role too, though it's harder to control when you're a guest at someone's house. Foods high in sulfur compounds, garlic, onions, cruciferous vegetables, can make sweat smell stronger. Alcohol and caffeine can increase sweat production. Spicy foods trigger a sweat response. None of this is going to make or break the situation, but it's part of the overall picture.
Daniel's eating whatever his in-laws serve. He's not going to start interrogating the garlic content of dinner.
Nor should he. The social cost of being the guy who asks about sulfur compounds at the dinner table far outweighs any marginal improvement in body odor.
There's a whole hierarchy of interventions here, and diet is at the bottom of the list for anyone who isn't a professional athlete or dealing with a medical condition. Product choice, application timing, and clothing are the high-leverage moves.
The order matters. Night application first because it costs nothing and improves any product. Then product upgrade if needed. Then clothing. Then you can start thinking about whether the garlic bread is worth it.
You said Certain Dry is the strongest over-the-counter option. What's the step beyond that? What does prescription antiperspirant look like?
Prescription antiperspirants use aluminum chloride at higher concentrations, typically 20% or more, sometimes up to 30% in a solution. The brand name is Drysol, and it's essentially Certain Dry, but stronger and more irritating. It's for diagnosed hyperhidrosis, and dermatologists prescribe it when over-the-counter options have failed. The application protocol is more intense. You might apply it and then wrap the area in plastic wrap overnight to increase absorption. It's not something Daniel needs or would want.
That sounds like a medical procedure, not a grooming product.
It basically is. And there are further steps beyond that. Botox injections to paralyze the sweat glands, microwave therapy to destroy them, surgery to cut the nerves that trigger sweating. The treatment ladder for hyperhidrosis gets invasive fast. Daniel's nowhere near that ladder. He's a guy with normal sweat who wants his deodorant to last through an afternoon of physical work.
Which is a reasonable expectation that the products on the shelf claim to meet, but don't quite deliver on.
The claims are calibrated to a version of human activity that doesn't include physical labor. They're tested on people sitting in hot rooms, not people swinging hammers. The gap between the test conditions and real life is the whole story.
It's the same gap as battery life claims on phones, mileage claims on cars, any consumer product where the lab number sounds impressive and the real-world number is about half.
The regulatory framework allows it because the number is technically true under the specified test conditions. The FTC has guidelines about advertising claims needing to be substantiated, but substantiated means there's a study somewhere that supports the number, not that the number reflects typical use.
What does Daniel actually do tomorrow morning? Or tonight, I suppose?
Tonight, before bed, he applies a thin layer of a clinical strength stick. I'd say Dove Clinical Protection if he has sensitive skin, Secret Clinical Strength if he wants the invisible solid format, Certain Dry if he wants maximum protection and doesn't mind potential irritation. He applies it to completely dry skin. He goes to sleep. In the morning, he showers if he wants, and the protection is already in place. He puts on a fresh shirt, ideally something breathable, and he goes about his day. By 4 in the afternoon, after cutting wood in humidity, he'll still be sweaty. No product can stop that completely, but he'll be noticeably less sweaty than he was with morning. Applied Axe Spray.
The fragrance situation improves because he's not walking around in a cloud of body spray.
Clinical strength products are fragranced more subtly than Axe. The scent is there, but it's not the point. The point is the aluminum plug doing its job quietly while you get on with yours.
That's about as no-nonsense as it gets.
12%.
What?
Certain Dryda. He said around 12% aluminum chloride. It's 12. The roll-on is 12%. The solid is, I want to say 15, but it's a different salt in the solid. They changed the solid formulation a few years back. My sister-in-law worked quality control at the plant in Ohio that made the bottles. Not the product, just the bottles. But she had opinions.
What kind of opinions?
She said the roll-on applicator was redesigned in 2014, and the new one dispensed too much product per swipe. People were going through bottles faster, getting more irritation. The formulation didn't change, but the application rate went up by about 30%. She filed a report about it. Nobody listened. She's not the kind of person you listen to, even when she's right, which she usually is. But she also thinks the moon landing was done on a soundstage in Burbank, so you have to pick your spots.
That's a very specific piece of information about deodorant bottle engineering.
She was very thorough about things that didn't matter. She could tell you the exact gram weight of plastic in a certain dry bottle, the mold temperature, the acceptable defect rate per 1,000 units. Couldn't hold down a job because she'd find something wrong with the process and wouldn't let it go. The plant manager called her the most exhausting person he'd ever employed. She took it as a compliment.
Did she have a view on the product itself?
She used it, said it worked, said the irritation was real but manageable if you followed the instructions, which nobody does. She'd apply it every third night with a cotton pad, not the roll-on directly. She said direct application was for people who hadn't read the insert. The insert says to use an applicator. Nobody reads the insert.
I've never read a deodorant insert in my life.
Nobody has. That's her point. She had a lot of points. She also believed that antiperspirant caused Alzheimer's, which the studies don't support, and she'd argue about it even though she worked in the industry. She was complicated. She moved to Arizona a few years ago, sells handmade soap now. I bought some. It's fine. It's soap.
The aluminum and Alzheimer's link. That's one of those things that got into the public consciousness in the 90s, and never really left, despite the evidence.
The concern started with a couple of studies in the 60s and 70s that found aluminum deposits in the brains of Alzheimer's patients. But subsequent research, large epidemiological studies, meta-analyses, hasn't established a causal link between antiperspirant use and Alzheimer's. The aluminum in antiperspirants is poorly absorbed through intact skin, and the amounts are tiny compared to dietary aluminum exposure. The Alzheimer's Association and the NIH both say there's no convincing evidence.
Try telling her that.
I suspect you did, more than once.
I learned not to. Some arguments aren't about the facts. They're about who's right. She needed to be right about things. The bottle thing, she was right about that. The Alzheimer's thing, she wasn't. She never could tell the difference between the two categories.
There's something almost poignant about someone who can spot a 30% increase in product dispensing from a redesigned applicator, but can't evaluate the evidence on a health claim.
She'd say the health claim was a matter of principle, and the applicator was a matter of engineering. Principles don't need evidence, in her view. They're principles. I don't agree, but I understood the distinction she was making. She wasn't stupid. She was just organized wrong. Anyway, the certain dry is 12% in the roll-on. The rest of what you said was right.
What I keep coming back to is how much of this is hidden from the person just trying to buy a deodorant. The application timing, the concentration differences, the gap between lab conditions and real life, the fact that the insert nobody reads has the actual instructions that would make the product work better. None of this is on the front of the package.
The front of the package has one job, which is to get you to pick it up. The number of hours, the scent description, the word clinical or invisible or fresh. Everything you actually need to know is somewhere else, if it's anywhere at all.
Daniel's prompt was about whether the claims are accurate and what to buy if you want something that actually works. The answer to the first question is that the claims are accurate in a narrow technical sense that has almost nothing to do with his experience. The answer to the second is clinical strength, applied at night on dry skin. The rest is details.
The details matter, but the core advice is simple enough to fit on a label if anyone wanted to put it there.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumintop for keeping us honest about the aluminum chloride concentration and the bottle engineering of Northeast Ohio.
If you've got a question about something you use every day without thinking about it, send it in. The show's at myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from law. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.